Good morning. Oh, you guys are getting better at that. Very good. Very good. Super excited to have you all here with us this morning at Dallasburg Baptist Church. For the visitors that are here, that we hope you feel welcome. And I would encourage our members to take an opportunity is to introduce yourself to a visitor. Maybe you see someone you don't normally see before or haven't seen them in a while. Say hi to them. Introduce yourself to them. Make them feel at home. If you will, bust out your bulletins. We'll take a look at a couple things to remind you of some stuff going on. So we'll watch a video here in a minute about Annie Armstrong. We have a shower. Is it a baby shower? Is that what you call it? Yeah, a baby shower today. There's just a lot going on. Anniversary showers. I'm not sure exactly what you're supposed to call them. Celebrations. Thank you, Brad. That's happening today at 2 o'clock, so please join us for that. So here's a big one. There's a couple big ones on here. M28 mission trip, right? The sheet's been out there for a while. We've asked you to pray about it. Some of you have signed up. Some of you signed up more than once, which I'm very impressed with your dedication that you've signed up twice on the same sheet. But here's the deal. We got to know whether we're going or not, right? I talked to Brother Matt yesterday. I really need you all to think about that, pray about it, either sign up today or don't sign up today, and you know, however the Lord leads you in that. But we've got to let them know soon. You'll see in the bulletin what it's going to consist of, but we have to make that decision. We got to come to agreement on that, all right? So think about that. Take a look at that out there. Here's a big one, right, for Resurrection Sunday schedule. Side note, Lisa, thank you for decorating the library, and thank you for saying Resurrection Sunday on your little placard there. Take a look at that. It's decorated very cute and very nice. We'll be doing a different schedule for Resurrection Sunday, right? So we'll be having a sunrise service beginning at 7 a.m. Weather depending, maybe outside, maybe inside. You dress appropriately for yourself. Then we'll be having a breakfast. Melissa has already ordered 8 dozen donuts, so we'll be having donuts. So we'll be having a time of fellowship that morning. Sunday school will begin at 9. We'll go to 10 a.m. Then corporate worship will begin at 10:15 and go to 11:15. Right? So you'll be getting out 40, in theory, Simon, in theory, you'll be getting out 45 minutes earlier than you're probably accustomed to, and that's done. So if you have other things, you want to be with your family that day, we highly encourage you to hang out with your family that day and celebrate the risen Savior. That's why that schedule is different. It's also because for some of you, you have a pretty long drive, right? And so if you come here for sunrise service, you don't really have time to drive all the way back home and then come back to Sunday school, so we kind of compress everything on that day, and that's why we do that. Make a note of that. If you're like me, I put an asterisk and a square around it so I don't mess it up, because if I mess it up, that's bad for all of us. But pay attention to that. All right, also you'll see there's Saturday, April 16th, youth group's taking a field trip. You see the information there. The children's Easter musical is the 24th, 6 p.m., mark your calendars for that. And then we talked about it last week. I'm not going to go into full details again, but the Owen County Christmas Project looks a little different this year. We're going to be collecting items throughout the year. You'll see tubs out in the Hallelujah Hallway for what the items happen to be that month. And they're going to do that a little bit different this year. All right. One thing that we wanted to celebrate, and many of you were with us yesterday, is we wanted to celebrate Teresa and Allen's 50-year anniversary. I believe we have a picture. There you go. Look at that picture. Yes. It was a great time of fellowship. Anytime I go someplace and there's 3 different type of cakes, I'm like, I'm in on this, man. I was like, we got options. We got options today. So very thankful for that. And then also, a little less, but none less important, is Steve and Crystal also celebrated a 22-year anniversary this week, right? That picture looks very familiar to where I'm standing. It looks very close to it, right? And so you're wondering, like, oh, why are we making a big deal about that? Well, this is why we make a big deal about it. It's because God takes marriage very serious. And here at Dallasburg Baptist Church, we take it very serious as well. And we want to celebrate those individuals that are doing it well and doing it correctly. And so if you make me aware of that, we will celebrate that, right? I'm not good at keeping up with things. I'm lucky to remember my anniversary, right? So you share that with me, we will celebrate it, right? So what we're going to do now, you know we're in the season. Maybe you don't know. You'll know now. We're in the season of Annie Armstrong. That's why we have this setting out here. That is where our time of dedication for North American missions, right? And so Steve has a video for us this morning that we're going to watch for that. All right. Thank you, Steve, for finding that video for us. And so we continue to do that. The North American Missions, it is exactly what it says it is. It is reaching missionaries that are serving in North America. Those are some pretty interesting stats on Denver. I definitely, hopefully no one wants to move there because of those stats. But those are interesting stats. But as a church, this is a reminder. As a church, this is our calling, is we are to take the gospel. We are to take the church out into the dark world that is chasing after different things. And maybe you're in a season of life that you can't physically do that, right? As far as being a mission plant someplace, but you can partner alongside of people that are doing that through your giving. It's very important. All right? Something that we didn't make it to the bulletin this week, but we're going to have a speaker on it, so it's probably even better, is that you've heard us discussing that Cindy is organizing this outreach for women. And so Cindy, where you're, oh, there you are. Cindy's going to come up and share that with us.
Yeah, this ain't Denver, but we still have a responsibility here to do the same thing as she spoke about on that video, is to reach out to those around us. And we've got plenty around us that we can reach out to, people who are in need, just to live life with, to do things, to intentionally invest in one another's lives, and to intentionally love them the way God loves us. So, as you see, well, maybe we're going to see. Steve and I have had a hard time connecting on this. We've got some upcoming events leading up to our women's event on April the 29th. So those events, we have another planning meeting. We had a planning meeting this last Wednesday night. And so we got it off the ground. But to continue with this and to put some final ideas into place, we're going to meet again on the 13th. That's a Wednesday night after prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. And then we decided a visitation for this event, we needed to do that. It's sort of like the gospel to every home, but it's not. We are looking at a radius around the church. As we've said before, those that are in the shadow of the steeple. We need to make sure that they know that Dallasburg Baptist Church wants them here. If they want to be here, we want them here. We want them to share with us. Even if they're a member of another church, we're not trying to get people, steal people from other churches. What we're doing is having a women's event. And as long as you're that, then you can come. So we're going to have that event, that visitation, on April the 24th at 3 o'clock. We will meet here, go out in pairs or however we need to go out, and try to hit as many homes as we can within a couple hour period, because that night is also the children's event, children's Easter or Resurrection Sunday event, sorry. So we will have invitations that we can take out. Also, if there are women that are outside that 2 mile radius or whatever, make sure you invite them. Make sure. If somebody, God lays somebody on your heart to invite, please do. And the event itself will be April the 29th at 6. We're going to have a speaker. We're going to have food. Of course, it's always important to have food. We're going to do that. And we will have just a time of fellowship with one another that I think will be a very sweet time and a time that you will enjoy. Give us a shot. See what's going on and make sure you invite others. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. You know, one of the things that I'm blessed in so many ways, and one of those is that being a part of a church that people want to serve and work hard like Cindy does. And it's like Cindy said, this is not all about her, it's about Jesus, but she's spearing that up, so I'm very thankful for her efforts in that. I also feel moved to share something else this morning, is that, and I know it's going to embarrass him, but I'm just super thankful for Steve, the man back there in the box. I saw him like 7 times this morning walk past my door as he's working on things, as he's getting things off copiers, as he prepares things, as him and Crystal are a team. It's a job that you don't see Steve working, but Steve is always working for you. So if you get a chance, there you go, there we go, there we go. And I'm sure Steve's heart rate is he's about to pass out right now, so no one look at him right now, right? Yes, yeah. Steve, would you like to say, I'm just joking. But I'm very thankful, and you know, one of the first things you learn when you take a public speaking class, and a lot of you have probably had to walk through that misery, is they say, never name people's names because you'll forget them. I don't agree with that, right? I don't agree with that. I agree in recognizing people when we see them do great things, not for themselves, but in service of the Lord. It's an amazing thing. It's a very biblical thing, and we're blessed in a lot of ways here at Dallasburg. One of those, we are blessed in spades in that, right? So I'm going to pray for us now that our musicians will begin preparing our hearts for a worship of a wonderful God. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you for the time that you've given us this morning in a Sunday school class, and we've discussed a very difficult lesson, Lord, about suffering and persecution and how you're preparing us for that and how we are to remain faithful in the midst of that, Lord. Thankful for that time and those teachers this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for the time that we've set aside to discuss announcements and all of the things that we're doing here at Dallasburg. Not for our glory, but for your glory, Lord. Just thankful for the efforts of these saints. Lord, I'm thankful for the time that we have right now to come alongside one another to set aside the distractions of the world and to come and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. I invite you, let us stand, and as our brother said, let us worship our wonderful God by recognizing what a wonderful mystery it was that he decided to come down and give his life on a cross for a bunch of sinners like you and I. So let us sing, let us rejoice that promise, that wonderful deed happened, and that you and I have now eternal life because of that wonderful mystery. Let us sing.
Behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, he the perfect Son of Man, in his living and his suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption. See the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory. Grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain him. Praise the Lord, he is alive. What a foretaste. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes.
Amen. We will be resurrected when he comes. And it is because of that that happened on the cross that we can sing that boldly. So let us be reminded and let us sing of that wonderful sacrifice on that cross.
Cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. Psalms 92, verses 2 and 3. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is He. Amen. Holy is He, and that is why we sing of that amazing grace that was given to us by an amazing God. Amen. Let us sing and let us be reminded that it is a grace, something given to us that we do not deserve. But in His love and His mercy, He gave us that, and He will sustain us through eternity. So let us sing.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Toils and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has brought good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
What a wonderful verse, isn't it? After 10,000 years, there will be no less days, and we will continue to sing his praise for eternity. And we can sing that boldly because he lives. We can sing that boldly because of what he has done, and he is a living Savior. And we will live in eternity with him, for he is eternal. So let us sing because he lives, and let us be reminded that the promises that he has given us are because he lives. Amen. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face in certain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. I know he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. You may be seated.
Psalm 99, 4 through 5. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. Thank you for this time of worship that we've been able to have, Lord. It just sounds so beautiful. Everybody's singing praises to you, Lord. I'm just so thankful for this church family that we have here, Lord. I lift up the offering that we're about to receive, and I pray that we use it to the ongoing work of your kingdom, Lord. I ask you to be with Michael as he brings our message today, and just open our hearts and our minds and our ears to what is said. And I just pray that you speak through him to us. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, our children will head off to children's church. Braylee Joe's excited for children's church, that's for sure. Again, we're super excited to have everyone with us this morning. If you'll recall, we have started a new book. We're in 1 Peter now. It's what we're working our way through, and I was thinking about it earlier this week, and if you all can go back to maybe when you took some entry to some science or something in school, and you talked about the difference between density and mass, and 1 Peter is just very dense, right? I mean, we did an entire service off just like two verses, and I'm like, I am amazed how much theology Peter, obviously writing on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, packed into two verses. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we could spend weeks talking about just those two verses. And so I came to verses 3 and 5, and I'm like, man, it just continues. Man, it's just it's an amazing thing that Peter does here, and we understand it's the Holy Spirit doing, and it's just so much truth. And so I say all of that to say this. This is a 30,000 foot flyover on verses 3 through 5 today. We could spend months, and you're like, sure you could, Michael. No, we literally could spend months discussing verses 3 through 5 because there's so much theology. There's so much truth wrapped up in that. It's one of the things that, as a person who prepares messages, is that you have to find that happy medium, right? Most of you don't want to sit through 5 sermons on the same 3 verses, right? And so we're going to try to hit the best as we can this morning. You know, just to kind of give you a context, and I'll tell you all, I was 99.9% sure the mistake was mine. There's always a small margin of error, but 2 weeks ago when I asked for the map to be displayed and I saw Steve's eyebrows go up to his forehead, I'm like, uh-oh. Turns out, guess who messed it up? It was me, right? It was not Steve, it was me. So I'm just going to put this up there for you again, just to kind of give you a context of where in the world we're at, what's going on. So you'll see, let's see, you'll see Jerusalem there underneath Palestine, right? And so that's where the home church is. And then you see these other areas here. You see Asia, Bithynia, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Pontus. This is where the church has dispersed to. So that's modern-day Turkey, if you're not sure, if you're not too up on your world geography. That's kind of modern-day Turkey there. And that's where the church has dispersed because of the persecution. And so that gives us the context of what's happening in 1 Peter, is he's writing to a people that are suffering. If you are able to join with us this morning for your Sunday school class, it'll always be Sunday school to me. I know Lifeway loves to call it small group study. I'll always call it Sunday school. Your teachers, and you studied this, you talk specifically about suffering for Christ and what that looks like. And really, what Scripture tells us is not that you might suffer because you're living a life that's in light of what the Scripture teaches us that looks more like Christ. Not if, but that you are going to suffer. And so 1 Peter would have resounded so well with, would have meant so much to them if they would have read the Sunday school lesson you read this morning, because they are suffering this persecution. The reason I spend a little bit of time on this is when you come to 1 Peter and 2 Peter and you read it, it's very positive. Very encouraging, very uplifting, right? And so that is a mega theme message for you and I as well, is that in the midst of trials, in the midst of suffering, we should be overjoyed still, right? Because we've discussed this, and you've probably heard this ever since you were very little, if you were blessed to be raised in church, is that we're not looking for happiness here, we're looking for joy. And where does our joy emanate from? Our joy emanates from our relationship with Christ. So it doesn't matter our situation. It doesn't matter our location. What matters is our relationship with Christ. That's where your joy has to come from. Easy to say on a Sunday morning as we're surrounded with like-minded believers and just had beautiful music. Side note, I've had someone speak to me recently, and they were like, I mean, have you guys upgraded your sound system at church? And I was like, if Steve did, he didn't tell me. We'll find out at the next business meeting if Steve spent some money. But no, you know what it is you guys are singing loud. You're singing. You're singing strong. You hear these words that our musicians select and they play for us and lead us in great, right? And you're singing. You know why? Because the truth speaks to you. So we haven't bought any fancier microphones. I think that's Steve's phone back there we're using, right? But you guys are doing that because you understand what God wants you to do, and you're worshiping God in the midst of that. So keep doing that, right? Back to our regularly scheduled program, right? So we find ourselves, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. I'm going to read it for us. God's word says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for these brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are physically here with us, those that are at home watching through our social media, Lord, I thank you for them. Lord, I thank you for the truth that we'll look at in today's word about a living hope and what that means to us, what it means to be born again, what it means to know that our salvation is assured and being saved for us with you in heaven right now, what eternity looks like. Lord, I thank you for these truths. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, as they serve the church, most importantly, through serving you. Lord, it's just an amazing thing. I'm so blessed to be part of an amazing church such as this. And Lord, I pray that as we come and we have a teachable spirit this morning, as we discuss the truth of your word, that we're then able to take this and go out and serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so the first thing I want to look at here, and this is verse 3, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's discuss something real quick here, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's just break that down. Lord is a title, right? It's a title that we give to Jesus. As the ray of sunshine, Paul Washer, he's a theologian who's out there. Thank you for laughing at that, Raphael. If you've ever listened to him, he's no ray of sunshine. He's very straight to the point. But he's known for saying this, and it's very correct. Thank you. I see you laughing, too. You get it. He's very direct. Jesus is Lord. Don't get that mixed up, right? A lot of times you've prayed it in the front of a material that someone's given you, and it's with good intentions. They don't mean it. I don't believe they mean it wrong. But they're like, you know, just ask Lord to be Jesus, or ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. No, Jesus is the Lord of your life. You just simply have to acknowledge him as Lord. He is Lord. He's not waiting for you to be like, oh, Jesus, please be Lord of something. No, he is Lord of something. And so we see this very clearly. This is something that Peter, it's probably lost a little bit on us in our culture, because you've probably always seen Jesus titled the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never really thought about it. This is a very clear thing, and it happened in the early church, is how Christians would greet one another is Jesus is Lord, or my Lord is Jesus. And they were driving the point home. They understood who Jesus was. Side note, don't ever lose the fact of how blessed you are that you have this fullness of Scripture. That people that have, they've spent their entire lives, some martyred for translating this, so you and I can have a better understanding of what God wants us to know of his son, Jesus Christ. Don't ever sell yourself short that you have this. One of the reasons the early church had to greet one another that way is they didn't have the fullness of Scripture. They didn't have all these things worked out yet. They didn't have established buildings where churches were meeting. So when I would meet JT, one of the things, I'm just going to say, I wouldn't know your name if I was meeting you, right? I would encounter JT. I was like, Jesus is Lord is how I would introduce myself. And JT would say that back, and I know we're brothers in Christ, right? Another reason, that was dangerous. Remember, at this time in 1 Peter, and I shared that with you last week, a lot of your Bible studies get this a little bit wrong, is the Romans haven't started hunting Christians yet. Like, it's not a law to hunt Christians, but they are being persecuted in 1 Peter. They are being treated unfairly. They are being arrested for being Christians, but they're not being hunted yet. That will happen very soon, but not yet, right? That. So then we come to Jesus, right? Jesus is his name. You have a first name. I have a first name. Mine happens to be Michael. You have a first name. Jesus is derived from the Hebrew Joshua, right? Which means Yahweh saves. So just by seeing and saying Jesus' name, it sends another message, is that God saves. Yahweh saves, right? And then the last, and I'll share this with you, I've told you all this, is that I by no means am I the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'll be the first to admit that in any group that I'm in. For a large part of my life, I thought Christ was Jesus' last name. Like, my last name is David. I thought Christ was his last name. I was like, Jesus Christ, okay. Everybody calls me Michael David. I just thought that we were doing. But then, as I got a little older, and I got a little bit smarter, it took a while, I got there, right? As we understand, Christ is another title that's applied to Jesus. That's not his last name, right? Then Jesus is, the way Jesus would have been referred to in his time is Jesus of Galilee, or Jesus, Joseph's son, right? That's how they would have identified Jesus of whom he is. Jesus was a very popular name of the time, so he wasn't the only person given that name, right? But Christ is another title, right? It comes from the Greek translation of Christos, which is a Hebrew translation of Messiah, right? So we have the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Lord of our lives, pointing us to the fact that God saves and he's a Messiah. Or not a Messiah, the Messiah, right? As he fulfills all the Old Testament prophecies about what a Messiah is going to be, this clearly says Jesus as the Christ, Jesus as the Messiah, is that Messiah that we see in the Old Testament. Again, another side note for us to understand. Most of you who have spent much time in a church setting underneath godly instruction, and I pray that we all have, is that you've always thought of Christ this way, right? You've always thought of Christ being part of the Godhead, of Christ being the Messiah. Again, when Peter is writing this for the audience, and the map's not up there anymore. No, you don't have to put it back up, Steve, but of the map of those five areas, this is very new theology that's getting out there to people, right? And so anytime you encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to think about what that name means. It means more than just a designation of whom Jesus was. It does mean that, but it says a lot more too. It talks about his title as Lord of our lives. It talks about the fact that he is the Messiah and fills all the Old Testament prophecies. And it teaches the fact that God saves, and God saves us by sending Jesus Christ. And we'll get to that more in a minute, right? Something else that's important to talk about here, and I try to take the opportunities when they present themselves to bring this up. When we see here, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to make sure we understand something very clear here. God did not create Jesus. Jesus has always been. So has the Spirit. They have always existed in perfect unity. Something else. It was a long time in my sanctification process before I really grasped that concept. If you would have gave me a quiz, I think I would have got it right. I always go B. I would have selected B, yes. Jesus has always existed. But as I continue to grow in this and understand, that's very important for us to understand. And so when we see here in Scripture, when it says, blessed be the God and Father, right? God is not a physical father to Jesus. Jesus has always existed, right? When we have the Godhead three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Raphael and I had a conversation this week along with Tony. This is just a real easy litmus test. If you want to figure out if something is a true religion, and by true religion, I mean teaching the truths of Scripture, right? Or if something is a cult, ask them what they think about Jesus. That's the key. That's what separates cults from religions, is that was Christ created or did Christ always exist? Now, we teach, and I think correctly, according to Scripture, Christ has always existed, right? When we read about Jesus speaking the universe and creation in Genesis, guess who else was there? Jesus. And so was the Spirit. A lot of other cults, they teach something very different to that, is that Jesus was created and Jesus was born of God, right? And it's really just a misunderstanding of Scripture and the translations that are used. But we want to make sure we get that right, is that Christ is a member of the Godhead, right? Three in one. Now, one of the relationships that I think is earthly for us, and I know it helped me tremendously when I became a father, right? I started understanding this a little bit more, right? And so the relationship is this, is that the Father says and the Son does, right? Jesus obeys what his Father tells him to do. So even though they don't have the same father-child relationship that you and I biologically have with our children, right? Our additional children in our home, what the symbology there is very correct. Christ obeyed his Father, right? God sent him, right? He sent him to earth for our salvation. And what did Christ do? He obeyed. One of the clearest ways you see this is when Jesus is in the garden and he's praying, right? And the disciples are like, this is too long, I'm taking a nap. And all the disciples, they just hit it hard. They're asleep, Right? And Jesus is like, you couldn't even stay awake for a few minutes? But he's there and he's praying. He's like, Father, if there's any other way that we can do this, man, I'm okay with removing this cup from me. And God tells him, says, no, stay the course. And what does Jesus do? He obeys. Why does he obey his Father? Because he loves him, right? What's our formula, Simon? I told Simon I was going to call on him. He doesn't remember. Love equals obedience. That's three Sundays in a row I've asked you that, Simon, okay? Three Sundays in a row. We're going to get it before it's over with. Love equals obedience. We see that modeled in Christ, and we pray we see it modeled in us as well. Is that always easy? No, because we're called to a higher standard. We're not called to look like the world. We're called to be obedient to what God teaches us. And so that's why that relationship is important for us to understand. The second thing, I should have said this first, but what is the first thing that Peter says here? Blessed. When you're writing a letter to several churches that are dealing with massive persecution, that is true biblical persecution, right? Would that be the first thing you would think to tell them? Is, man, give blessings to God. We would call that praises. Give praises to God. No, that's probably not the first thing most of us would think to do. But Peter does. Why is that? It's a very, very, very practical reason. You want to help yourself, right? And obviously not in the sense of your salvation, because only Christ can accomplish that. Don't get that mixed up. But you want to help yourself get into a better positive mindset. Count your blessings. Understand how blessed you are, right? It's hard at times. I'm going to make these numbers up. I'll answer for this someday. So I'm just going to make these numbers up. Most of us probably have 99% of the things going right in our life according to Scripture. I pray that you do. But what's the one thing you focus on? That 1% that don't work right. Right? I'll share with this. This just happened to me the other night. Melissa getting ready for the 50th anniversary. Someone had packed that trash can in there that Samson himself would have a hard time picking it up. So I get it out of that can, and I'm dragging it. I'm like, I could never kill somebody because they're dead weight. Like, it'd be hard to get rid of somebody. I take it out here to the dumpster. I go to throw it in. It just busts open. I mean, trash went everywhere, and it stunk. Something there was rotten. I'm like, oh, my gosh. In that moment, what was I focused on? The pile of trash. But the reality, look how blessed I was. I was blessed because I have a mother and father-in-law celebrating 50-year anniversary. I'm blessed I got to spend the night with my wife and my children. We didn't get along perfectly, but we got along pretty good. We got it done. Melissa directed us correctly, right? And so what am I focusing on? I'm focusing on the one negative thing, but look how much positive I have in my life. That's exactly what Peter is doing here for these churches as well. He's reminding them. It's hard. He's acknowledging that, right? I think that's one of the things the church does incorrectly is we have a tendency to want to just be like, that doesn't matter. No, it does matter. If you're going through a hard time, it does matter, and we should acknowledge that. But the reality and the truth is this. You're blessed beyond understanding. And so what Paul is instructing them to do here, and it's also true for you and I, is we need to take a little pause and think about the blessings we have in our life. Some of you are sitting here right now, and maybe you're thinking right now, I don't feel that blessed. Well, you are. Scripture teaches you are, right? If you are living in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, what else could you want? It is an amazing thing, and that's what we're going to talk about next. Peter moves on, right? And this is why he says you're blessed, because he says, you, according to his great mercy, he has caused you to be born again to a living hope. So let's talk about that. What does a living hope mean? What does that even mean? Well, this is the amazing truth of what it means. It means that we have something to put our faith in. We have something that we can depend upon. And what is that thing that we can depend upon? That's Jesus Christ. Right? That's where we place our living hope. You know, one of the truths, excuse me, that I love to share with people is that there is no monument that exists in the Middle East that you can go to and be like, here's the burial site of Jesus Christ. That doesn't exist. You don't know why? Because he didn't stay there. He hung out for 3 days, but he came back. And that's one of the amazing things that we celebrate in this season. And I'm so thankful that you guys are getting on board with this Resurrection Sunday. I am so thankful. It does my heart proud every time I see it or hear somebody say it, right? It's because that's what we're celebrating. It's the fact that Christ has been resurrected, right? And that because of that, we have a living hope, right? Peter also talking about here is that we should be thankful for the mercy that we receive from God. And so we sang the song this morning, a piggyback off what Raphael said there, talking about the wonderful mercies that we have in our lives. Let me help you do something here just for a second. Go with me here. Sometimes it may be difficult to understand God's mercy, right? It's difficult at times. You're like, well, I know Scripture tells me that. We sing songs about it all the time. What does that mean? You tell me, don't tell me out loud. You think about it. Which one of these are you? Have you ever ignored God? You ever neglected God? You ever failed Him? No hands on this one. You ever rebelled against what God's word says? Right? Oh, thanks for the hand right here. You've ever cursed God? You've ever disobeyed Him? You've ever sinned against Him? That list could go on and on. And my guess is each and every one of you fill at least one of those categories. The truth is, you fill them all. In light of that, what did God do? He came to walk the earth in ridicule and shame so he could live the ideal life as the perfect human, right? Fully God, fully human. We could get into that later. And then he was able to go to the cross willingly on your and mine behalf, even though we met all those categories. So you talk about a merciful God. Yeah, right? We're reading a book. A couple pastors get together and read a book. And I didn't know I was quoting this guy because I've been saying this for years, and he's older than me, so I'm sure he said it first. Be thankful you don't get what you deserve. Because, listen, that's just a few things, right? I don't know how many bullet points that is. I can't read it that fast. It's just a few bullet points that I have there in my notes. My guess is just we've done all of them. I have done all of those. Thankful I don't get what I deserve. Thankful for God's mercy. So in the midst of this suffering, in the midst of hardships, in the midst of persecution, right, in the midst of all of this, I just call it drama. That's the umbrella I put everything under. In the midst of all this drama on earth, what did God do? He gave us a living hope. And also, side note, what else does a living hope mean? Right, it means two clear things. Number one, it's active and functioning. He clearly doesn't say we just give you hope, and that would be good, that we could hope in Christ. That would be a good thing, and we could give a whole message on that. But it clearly says a living hope. That's something that's important for all of us to understand. Is God still active today? Dang right he is, and you should be thankful for that. It's a living, active hope. Again, there is no burial spot for our Savior. Why? Because he's living and active still today. I feel it on a daily basis. I feel him acting and moving in my life, convicting me of things, trying to steer me. And sometimes he has to try hard. Steering me away from sinful desires of my flesh. He's active and he's living. So thankful for that, right? And the other thing is about a living hope is guess what? It's eternal. It's eternal. It doesn't say for a short period, hope. It doesn't say a little while hope, right? It says a living hope. Why? Because it never runs out. It is eternal. We sang the song this morning, and don't ever give myself, you can give Raphael and Crystal credit for this, and whoever happens to be playing the box for us that morning. This morning was Jeremiah. I don't line up their songs with what I'm going to talk about, right? That is way too much organization that does not exist in me, right? But 10,000 years is just a start, man. 10,000 years is just a small fraction of eternity. I've shared this all the time with people. God's grace and the depths of God's mercy, we understand it as much as we can and we are appreciative of it, but we don't fully grasp it. I just don't think we can. I think eternity is another one of those concepts. We understand what infinity is. Maybe you even do a math problem that's got infinity on it. That's a sideways 8, if you're wondering, right? And so we understand the concept of that, But do we truly grasp affinity? Do we truly grasp it? It's difficult. 10,000 years is just a start. Just a start, right? And so, also, so we've talked about the mercies there. Let me give you a scripture reference here. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. God's word says this. But God, being rich in what? Rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Right? So there's lots and lots of references, right? That's why I was saying this is a very dense set of verses here, right? Talking about mercy and forgiveness and hope. It's an amazing thing. One of the things that goes along with this discussion on a living hope is the fact that we are born again. We are a new creation. We are a new birth, right? This is one of, everyone's like, man, Michael, you always say this verse is one of your favorites. I know I say that all the time because this week it was one of my favorites. And next week, though, a different one will be one of my favorites. But I can remember as a young person reading this and just kind of laughing at it because I was like, that's a good point. I didn't think about saying that. We find this in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. This is when a Pharisee, and this is when a Pharisee really isn't trying to trip Jesus up. I personally believe this Pharisee really has a question. And the Pharisee is having a hard time understanding what does it mean to be born again. Think about that for a second. Maybe you've been raised in a church all your life. What a blessing that has been. That you had parents that cared about this and brought you to, and what did I read the other day? They've been on the roll since they were in the cradle, right? What a blessing that is if that's you, right? So you've heard born again and you've had someone explain it to you. But someone who doesn't know the ways of Christ, born again makes no sense. Look at it. This is Nicodemus talking to Jesus. Nicodemus is having a problem understanding that. And Jesus says to him, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him. And here's a side note in your Bible reading. When you see truly, truly, that's like bold and in italics. It's like, pay attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What Christ is trying to lay on Nicodemus here is the truth of the fact that if you do not enter into right relationship with Christ, your heart will never be created anew. You will never be born again into this world as a new creation. If that does not happen for you, don't even worry about all the verses in 3, because guess, unfortunately, they don't apply to you. Is God showering those that have not been called to him right now? Yes, he's protecting them. They are receiving God's mercy as well, but they will never enter into eternal salvation if they do not have this right relationship with Christ, if they are not a new creation. I'm sure last week your Sunday school teachers talked about this, right? John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Probably the most controversial scripture, right, in the Bible. That's my opinion. That's not a fact. That's my opinion. It's very clear. We're talking about these loves and these mercies and eternity and this living hope, but that only applies to those that are living in right relationship with Christ, that understand who Christ is. One of the reasons, and I think this was question 3 this morning in your Sunday school material, is what are some of the things that make the concept of Jesus objectionable? I don't think they use the word concept, but Jesus objectionable. It's this. It's because it's exclusive religion. There's only one way to God. Side note, how many side notes can I have in one message, right? Raphael's like, a bunch. Yeah, I know. Yeah, right? Is this, pay attention to other teachers or other celebrities, because a very common thought process right now, there are many paths that lead to eternity. Some very well-known, powerful, earthly powerful people say that. Oprah teaches that. Like, if you read any of her books, I recommend you do not. If you're reading her books, that's her theology, right? Steve Harvey, maybe you know him from Family Feud, right? That's his theology. He just came out recently sharing that he thinks there's many ways to get to God. And what I like to tell people is like, they're kind of right. There's a lot of ways to get there. There's only one way to get through that narrow gate. And that's by having the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. So guess what? All those paths get you there. They're kind of right, but only one gets you through. And this is why this is difficult for so many people to understand. And this is why it's important for us to be a new creation, right? We see that in 2 Corinthians. This is what Brad and Bobby's Sunday school class is named after this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so that's what Nicodemus was struggling with there, right? He was like, how can I be born again? Like, I'm a grown man. How can that happen? And it's a misunderstanding. What it means is you have a new created heart. Your heart is now set upon the desires of eternity and not of this world. Very important. And then the last thing we talk about here, and this is very important for us to understand, is this concept of inheritance, right? We see that in the scripture, to an inheritance, right? And so some of you maybe come from wealthy families. I do not come from a wealthy family, right? I do not have, if I'm aware of, if they're watching this online, hit me up. I'd like to know where you're at. I don't have a rich aunt or a rich uncle that someday I'm like, a Lamborghini is going to show up in my driveway and be like, hey, here's a free gift. I'd be like, first of all, I'm pretty sure I don't fit in that thing. But anyway, I digress. Side note, I took Melissa one time to go drive these fast cars, and they actually have a list of things that people can fit in. I didn't fit in any of them. I was like, well, save my money today, right? I ain't fitting in none of those, right? But what we want to talk about, no matter where you're at, some of you may have received, according to worldly standards, maybe you received an amazing inheritance, right? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, that your parents or your grandparents were good and understood how to invest and take care of that. That's not what I'm saying here. But what the point that Peter is making here is that no matter what an earthly inheritance is, you cannot even compare it to your heavenly inheritance. And that's what he's trying to drive them towards. It's a very consistent theme of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, is that what you're dealing with right now is very temporary. Is it hard in the midst of it? Absolutely. No one wants to be driven from their home to go 300 miles to a new city. No one is really going to be praying for that persecution. But the reality is, it is very temporary. What does Peter go on to say here about this inheritance? He first says it's imperishable, right? So that means, just simply put, it cannot perish, right? It does not age, it doesn't deteriorate, it doesn't die, right? And so this is a strange concept to you and I. Everything you've ever interacted with on this side of glory always deteriorates. It always, our trustees know, you have to do repairs on them. Bobby's like, I know, right? You have to go pour concrete. You have to fix things. You have to replace these lights. Why? Because things here perish. The truth is this: the inheritance that God ensures you, there's a big if there, this isn't for everyone, this is for those that are new creations, is guess what? This hope never perishes. It's a concept that blows. You've never experienced it. And it's only experienced in Christ, is that it never perishes, right? He goes on to say our inheritance is undefiled, right? It can't be diluted. It can't be dirty. It can't be infected. Is the inheritance is without flaw. It's a lot of big words to simply say this. Your inheritance is perfect. It cannot be made unperfect, right? He all goes on, it's unfading. It will last forever and ever. And this is something that I think it's very important for us to understand. And the older I get, the more I feel the aches and pains, and the more I realize how expensive it is if I decided to jump off that, like that's going to hurt and that's going to be expensive, right? Is that as we get older and we accrue more aches and pains and diseases set in on us, the truth is this. When you cross over and into eternity, there will be none of that. There will be no aches. There will be no pains. There will be no being upset. There will be no being mad. There will be no feelings like, this isn't fair. None of that will be gone. And you know why? Because you will be 100% with the Lord in a worship phase all of the time. It's hard to imagine that. That's what he's saying there. unfading, right? And the last thing he says there, and I kind of got out of the line there, is that where does your inheritance exist? It exists in heaven. That's where your inheritance is. And so one of the key things here for us to take away, and there are so many messages in 1 Peter verses 3 through 5, so many messages. One of the main things for us to take away from that is that things here are very temporary. They don't feel temporary at times, but they're very temporary, and that we need to always have our sight set on the eternal, set on heaven. And how do we do that? By being new creations, by being born again, that we were, and being understanding of how blessed we are to receive the mercy for God. The mercy is from God, because here's the truth, none of you deserve it. Neither do I. None of us do. Let's pray. Dear God, we're so thankful this morning for your word. Lord, I'm so thankful for the truth we find in the living hope in you. Lord, I'm so thankful for the inheritance that your word speaks of. Lord, just so thankful for all the truths that we've discussed this morning. So thankful for your mercies. So thankful for your grace. Lord, I understand that Scripture tells us to be prepared. We are going to have hardships. We are going to be treated unfairly. And those are because we look more like you. And in the midst of those, Lord, we understand how blessed we are in that situation as well, that anyone as wretched of us could ever be identified as coming from you. That's an amazing thing, Lord. It's an amazing transformation you've made in our lives. As you've made us new creations, that is just a reminder of how we are changing and growing. Lord, we always want to have our eyes focused upon you, that we understand, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, we are simply strangers or aliens for this world. Lord, this is not our final destination. You desire our final destination to be with you for eternity, where we receive our inheritance. What an amazing thing, Lord. Lord, we pray that what we've learned today, that we're able to take it out into a dark world and to be better examples of how you desire for us to live. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand and respond and see that at the cross is where we receive that wonderful hope. So let us sing.
Alas, and did my Savior die, and did my Sovereign die? Would he default that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by sight I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shine his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for men the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appeared. Is all my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grease cannot repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give my wealth away. This all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Now, you're talking about a good song. That's a good song right there. Brad and I had a little face-off this morning so you could sing loud. I think Brad got me, but that's how we should be singing. Right, when you sing that song, dissolve all your thankfulness, right? This is exactly what we're learning and discussing here, right? Is that as Christians, we should be joyful people. We should be very happy people. We should look very different than those people you interact with in your coworkers or the people you interact with at Walmart. You should look very different for them. Why? Because your faith is in a living hope that is active in your life right now. Show it. Show it. Now, I'll say this. Every Wednesday night, we have a prayer meeting, and some of our dedicated members are able to be here, and we pray. Many of you, we pray for you. You don't even know we're praying for you, but we pray for you, right? So we have a time designated just for that. I'm not going to turn that into that right now, but we do have a dear member that I think could use a little bit of special prayer time this morning, and that's Cookie. Maybe you know Cookie was in the hospital. I got the message from my wife and somehow still didn't get the fact that she was in the hospital. But she decided she was coming home, so she came home. But keep Cookie in your thoughts and prayers. Just a very dear saint to all of us. And just keep her in your thoughts and prayers. Just remember, right? We're going to have a business meeting here in a minute. Give us about 5 minutes to get set up. You go do whatever you need to do. And then come back here if you're a member. Come back and vote. If you're not a member, you can come back, and hopefully you'll see a church executing a business meeting that is God-honoring, right? Hopefully you'll see that. Simon, we close this in prayer, and pray for Cookie, please. Thank you.